Hey, folks, just a reminder, the Liquorland podcast is now available on Stitcher. You can get the app, you can download it, you can share us, you can link us, you can have us on the go, you can rate us, you can review us, and you can give us to your friends. That's the Liquorland podcast, now available on Stitcher. All right, let's do this. I really need this to work.
It's time for the Liquorland podcast with Joe Lewis.
Hey folks, welcome to the Liquorland Podcast with JoJo Lewis. I am JoJo Lewis. You are now listening to the Liquorland Podcast. I'm really glad you guys downloaded it, streamed it, listened to it on the website, theliquorlamp.blogspot.com. Got the app on Stitcher, added us to favorites, listening to us on iTunes. Either you downloaded us, put us in your queue, whatever it is. I'm super glad that you are hearing this podcast. I almost got in a car accident today, and it's kind of left me really shaken. I've been just out wandering all day, just not talking to anybody. I woke up where I am, the power went out, and I went to lunch with my family because I just didn't have anything else to do. So we were done with lunch, and then I just went. I was driving away onto the freeway on ramp. I'm turning. And I started to spin out, and I could feel it, and I kind of whipped, but I was like, I got to ease it back. And as soon as I eased it, it whipped really hard in the other direction. And, there was a car, behind me, and there was a car, not ahead of me. It was kind of clear, but I had lost enough control of the car that I was like, if there had been anybody here, I would have been totally fucked up. And I almost crashed into, the embankment. And Heavy Metal by Sammy Hagar was playing. By my request, I had loaded that onto my phone to listen. And I'm driving, and I'm like, I could have died. I probably wouldn't have died. But I could have died. And I couldn't, I went to the record store. Right after, because I wasn't going to stop my trip. The power was still out. It wasn't oh no, now, I might as well just go home. There was still nothing at home. So I went to the record store, and I just sat in the record store for 2 hours, just shaking. And, no one talked to me. That was the other thing. Nobody at any point today even saw me and was like, are you okay? Which is fine. I wasn't prepared to have a conversation. But, yeah, so I've been kind of, out of it. I literally just got home after just wandering around for about, 6 hours. 5 of those hours spent just going, does your life mean anything? That was the whole day, the entire day. I was just thinking, there's nothing. I know it feels like I haven't accomplished anything. And more importantly, it feels like nothing I do is ever going to really matter. And, I almost crashed my car, and I could have been totally fucked up. And, it was hours ago, and I still feel pent up, and I don't know what to do. So I'm starting to think that, I'm not happy with what's going on with me lately. I'm just not. And, I wake up most days and just I don't know what I'm going to do or where I'm going to go or anything like that. So I get kind of panicked. there's, you know, there's nothing to do about it. It's just what it is. And so I start to kind of think like, there's no purpose behind anything that you're doing. You're just wheel spinny and no one cares. And you've let people down in your life, and you're alone. And that's most days, pretty much every day lately. And nothing seems to kind of, like, nothing has been able to really snap me out of it. Because it's not a funk. It's the natural state that I've been in for, I don't know, a very long time. The one good thing is I can wake up and I don't immediately cringe. That's pleasant. Although, lately I've been waking up and just for like 30 minutes just unable to sit up at all. Not because of comfort, just I'm like, there's no reason. I'm just going to end up back here later. And I'm going to feel worse for having left and tried to make a difference. Yeah. So that's what's going on. If you know of any good pills, I'm open to suggestions. In the meantime, let's get on with today's interview. I'm talking to D. Tyler, who is, he's been doing comedy quite a while, and he's intimidating to perform after. And I told him, like, he's really funny and astoundingly interesting, and we had a really great talk. We talk about stuff that I don't know that anyone really knows about him, because he's one of those guys who's like, he's before my time in a fairly significant way, and I don't feel like no one really knows a lot about D. Tyler. But you're going to find out some stuff today, so let's get on with it. Here's my interview. Check it out. Just chill out.
Get some cough drops.
You might go away. Yeah. Well, shit, I'm glad you're feeling better. So, I didn't know you had kids.
Yes, man. Yes.
I don't know why that. Here's the thing. I don't know why it surprised me. But I didn't know, like, how many you got?
Just one, man. I have one. My son, he's 9. And you know what? I haven't, like, I think comedy goes in phases.
Yeah.
You know, so most of my comedy has centered around just my imagination and what I think of personally.
Yeah.
So I haven't really put a lot of my family life into my comedy yet. Coming soon. Yes, because there's a lot of funny stories. My son's quite a character. He's actually been in some comedy shows before.
Yeah.
Yeah, he likes it. He wants to write for me. He told me that. He was like, Dad, I'm going to write for you. We're going to get you some jokes.
And I'm thinking, like, I saw you up there. That's not up to par.
And he does write jokes. Like, he'll give me jokes. Like, he's like, Dad, you should do this. And I'm like, nah, no.
Then you get on stage, you're fishing for shit, like, oh, no.
Yeah, I should do that. And then he's gonna be like, he's stealing my stuff.
How old's your kid?
He's 9.
He's 9?
He's 9 years old, yeah.
Oh, that's fun.
Going on 10, going on 25.
So why is the keeping family out of it? Is it a conscious choice at this point, or is it just like you haven't gotten to it?
Yeah, I haven't really gotten to it. Plus, you know, his mom's the classic. You know, it's weird, man. Like my son, he's biracial, so his mom's white, and she is probably the worst. Like, you know, like I think a lot of black guys have this idea of what, like, you know, like the white girl. I got the worst one possible. Like, she totally destroyed all the stereotypes. She's more ghetto and more hood and more ratchet than any black woman I've ever met. So we definitely don't have a good relationship. But it's funny because my girlfriend now, we've been together for a while, like going on 5 years.
Yeah.
And she's black, but her daughter is biracial. So her daughter's father is white. So I look at it like we both kind of like escaped. Like, like there was some kind of like,
there was a we bought into that hype. We
bought in and then we sold our timeshare.
It's like you go to Disneyland and you get backstage and see all the steals. Yeah. See the guy with the Mickey Mouse hood off, he's smoking crack. You're like, I don't need to see this.
Yeah, that's what it was like. We both ran. It's awesome. We met at a support group for victims.
My name is D. I thought white was great, but then
no, it wasn't really that. It was that was the first. I think that was probably my first experience really interracially dating.
Interesting,
and it was scary. You know what? It's crazy. It was the worst. She's stone cold crazy. She's crazy as hell. That's enough of that.
Were you guys like married or just dating for a long time?
No, she just got pregnant and I tried to stick around as long as I could, but the crazy sauce was just too much for me.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
You can't do nothing with crazy, man.
You can't do nothing with crazy.
And you stick your dick in crazy.
It's like you're putting your dick in a beehive.
Pretty much.
You're gonna pull it out with scars and shit.
And all the bees have not only stingers but teeth. Yeah. So toothed bees with stingers and maybe sharp knives. And rusty razors,
and that stuff you just haven't gotten to it.
No,
because
it's a lot of good stories. I got some stories like when people tell their crazy baby mama stories.
Yeah,
I don't never chime in because I know I could trump it, and I don't want to be that guy. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to be that dude. I'm like, I'll let you think that you have the craziest woman on the planet, but I guarantee you. I mean, I'm going, no matter what I do, I think I'm going to have a good shot at getting into heaven just because I didn't kill her.
That bad, really?
That bad.
Can you give us a sample?
You know, yeah, I will give you a sample because this is going
on. I am curious.
She tried to kill me with a pair of scissors one time. Yeah, she had a pair of scissors. She got mad and she went on a rampage. She attacked me with the scissors, but I was holding a digital camera, right? So, in my mind, when she came at me with the scissors, I was thinking, you know, I should take a picture just so, you know, I have evidence, you know? So when I would raise the camera to take a picture, she would stop moving and put the scissors behind her back. And then I put the camera down and she resumed her attack, like unpausing a movie.
It's like a Tarantino
movie.
It
was like this weird ass crazy game of red light, green light.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so we did this all the way until I got to the front door, and then I went outside. I was like, "You're not gonna get me." not like that.
Oh my god!
Yeah, she's off, man. She's got a mental issue. I think she needs some medication for what's going on with her.
Do you split? Are you co-parents? Like, do you split with the kid?
Yeah, but she's not cool with that either. She's not. She's not a good co-parent.
Oh, partner. That's shitty.
Yeah, so she's one of those. She's still bitter about life. She became a lesbian at one point, and then almost got into it with her dude. And she got with this chick that looked like Ric Flair. And I'm like, why would you, like... Yeah, and it's, she gives this chick looks like Ric Flair, right? Yeah. It's racist... Like fucking pipe tobacco chewing, or you don't chew pipe tobacco, whatever you skull, grizzly, Kodiak.
Like she needed a cup to spit it all.
Larry
times.
The cable dyke. And that's good. And this bitch, like, so the first time I meet her, I'm coming up to get her. You know, I like to call this story the parade.
Yeah.
So I come to pick up my son, and it's my time to pick him up, and she's like, you know, he's going to be disappointed because I told him he can go to the parade today. And I'm like, oh, well, he's in the parade. And then he comes out and they're all dressed up and shit for this parade. And I'm like, well, I didn't know he was going to be in the parade. And so my son's like about to cry because he wants to go to the parade. And then that's how his mom does. She plans fun stuff when it's my time to get him. Like, Oh. Dad's coming to get you. We're going to Marine World. Too bad you can't go because you got to go with your dad. And I'm like, that's fine. I can't compete with Marine World. Like, it's fucked up, right? So I go to pick him up, and then like me and her are arguing. She tried to leave. She said, I'm not home. And I went to the house, and she was home. They were just trying to leave before I can get there.
Yeah.
Right? So my son comes out with like his parade gear, and they're all dressed up. And then Larry the Cable Deuce comes out, and I call Laura the Cable Guy. Laura the Cable Guy.
I think Larry the Cable... I feel like Cable Dyke sounds a little funner.
It's a little raw, you know what I'm saying? I don't want to disrespect all the legends.
That's a 10 p.m. That's a bit for 10 p.m. 8 p.m.
Yeah, not so much 10 p.m. Yeah, it's the late show language. But anyways, she comes out, and then my girl's standing there, or my baby mom's standing there, and then her, Larry's there, and we're arguing back and forth, and then Larry steps in like a dude. He said, hey! Check it out. And then, like, my girl about to say something.
She's
like,
break it down.
Like, shut up, woman. It's just man business. And I'm like, yeah, what she said. It's man business. So she steps to me, like, aggressive, dude, like, with her chest out.
Yeah.
Right? She steps, she's like, listen, this is what we're going to do. Let us take him to the parade. And when the parade is over, I guarantee we will drop him off wherever you want us to drop him off at. Just let him go to the parade. I'm like, you know what? You know what, dude? I feel you, bro. I can deal with you. And then my fucking baby mom sitting in the background just fucking looking like, I'm like, you wasn't this submissive when I was with you. Like, what is she doing to you? So they go to the parade, right? When I go pick my son up, here's the kicker. When I go pick my son, I'm like, how was the parade? What parade was it? They took him to their pride parade.
Yeah.
Right? So I didn't know. So now, my son, he, like, when he gets in the car, he's like shell-shocked. You know what I'm saying? Because he was...
So, Daddy, I didn't know about any of those things.
No, he had a great time because everybody gave him candy.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, they're pretty nice. You know what I'm saying? Regular people.
It's a parade. Yeah,
it's a fucking parade.
Yeah.
But they didn't tell me that.
Okay.
And I wasn't really tripping. And he's like, you know what? I said, well, and this is how mature my son already is. He's really... I said, hey, you know, well, how do you feel about that? He's like, well, you know, Dad, you know, as... when she's happy, if she makes her happy, it's easier for all of us. And he said that. He's like, you know, she's happy, makes it easier for all of us. I was like, I gave him a fist pound, and we went to Burger King.
Nice.
Yeah. You know.
Nice. That's awesome, man.
Kind of.
Yeah.
Like, I should, like, a lot of people told me you should do these stories on stage.
Yeah.
But the reason I don't, sometimes because, one, at some point, I don't think my son is ready to hear the truth about how horrible of a wretch his mom is.
Yeah.
And he's already too interested in my comedy. Like, he'll search on YouTube. He might hear this podcast.
Yeah.
At some point. So if you're listening, son, you know, hey, yeah, she ain't shit. But, you know, that's just how it is with life. People need to really be careful about who you select to impregnate. Because you impregnate the wrong one, it will...
It haunts you.
Yeah, if haunt is a under... It's more like a possession.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is walking on the ceiling.
I imagine that.
Poltergeist type shit.
What's interesting is... I can tell the stories that you just told. I mean, yeah, they're heavy. But the way that... Even as you talk about them... And I don't even think... They're not rehearsed right now, right? They're just like...
No, these are...
Yeah, it's just like even... You have a natural way to kind of break down the tension of, oh, this is just a crazy situation. But I imagine if your son was to hear it, that would kind of color things in an odd way. Yeah. Do you feel like... I don't imagine you censor yourself, but do you kind of like... Do you think of your kid when you write your bits, or just all the jokes you tell, or just like, are you just excise? I'm not going to do the stories that might lead back into this other thing.
No, you know what? You know how people feel. You know, people say like pain plus time is comedy.
Yeah,
I don't think there's that much time.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Like it's never like every time we have an interaction, it resets the clock because it's so foul. So, but also the other reason is that, I have so much, to me, the stuff that I come up with is interesting.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? And I like to stretch the imagination, and I like to see how far I can go with the concept, with the crowd. So sometimes that doesn't fit into it, and I know if I go there, I'm probably gonna, it's probably, I won't, there won't be any coming back. Probably.
Yeah, it kind of, those kind of stories like that would kind of shift gears in terms of what you would be doing.
And trust me, people want to hear those stories.
Yeah.
Like, once I start telling them, people are going to want to hear that.
Yeah, and then it's going to be hard to go back to talking about, you know, going to Jack in the Box. And
I mean, well, I have written this.
Yeah.
I have written, not this particular, but I have written jokes that, you know, that involve my son. Like, I've written that material and I have it. I just haven't had an opportunity to do it, because I would think that once I transition into a regular headliner, then these stories will start appearing, because mm-hmm. I have time to set a tone and present them in a way that's not nasty. Because I still don't want to sound, you know, like, even though it's a foul situation, like you said, I don't want it to be mean.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? More so, it's just the truth.
Yeah, yeah. I've found that, like, really angry on stage is not easy to maintain. And it's not easy to make people on board with that. Unless you're angry at something idiotic.
Yeah, it's hard to come back when you get mad.
Yeah. Like, genuine anger doesn't go over well. I've found that the only two kind of emotional states are kind of, like, pitiful or charming. Like, really charming is amazing on stage. And I think when you're on stage, it's just, you're a charming dude.
Thanks, man.
I'm thinking back to the show, the Daniel Humbarger show back in December. I remember you showed up and I almost felt like I was underdressed now, because you had, you had on like a suit. And I think you had on like suspenders. And you had like the hat, like the, it's,
yeah, I had a hat
the
on Pat- yeah.
the Patrice hat. And I was like, I'm wearing a sweatshirt, like, this is garbage.
You know what happened, and the reason behind that, because in a couple shows that I've done now, I've been dressing a little bit more better for the shows,
right?
Just because it kind of, you know, it, like, I've had comics tell me that, you know, when you come out there, I mean, unless that's your thing, like Louis C.K., he would be weird looking in a sweater vest.
Absolutely.
You know, classic, but he's already made it, so he is who he is. People pay to see T-shirt Louis.
Yeah.
But for me, sometimes it just lit to me. Sometimes it seems when people don't know who you are and you dress a little better, sometimes it lends you a little bit more credibility.
No, that makes sense.
And then also, being a black comic, you know, most comics, it just kind of like sets you apart a little bit, you know, kind of makes it like a, you know, they go, oh, okay, well, you know, I'm still going to say the same shit, you know what I'm saying? But I'm going to look better saying it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And they, it's kind of like, I'm of the opinion that, you know, they start judging you the moment that you walk out.
Yeah,
on stage. They judge you by your name. They judge you the moment they see you. So it's crazy to think they're not going to have a negative opinion up until, or a positive opinion up until I say something. So it makes sense that, like, yeah, you have to care about your appearance, how you look, and how that kind of relates to the material.
And it doesn't really make a difference at the end of the day. I mean, once you get into it, it's whatever. It's still, you can go up there dressed like $1 million and you eat shit. You just, you know, get a spoon.
Yeah.
But
still need jokes.
But sometimes, man, like, I've noticed, you know, like, I've gotten better reactions from the crowd. You know, they say, oh, okay. Because they think, oh, this guy, he got dressed up. He prepared to come to do this. You know, he don't look like he just woke up and threw some fucking shit on and was like, I'm going to tell some jokes. Where's the wings? You know, he looked like he came for business, man.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not going to do that all the time, though. I'm just, you know, occasionally when I'm feeling it, you know. Plus, my girl bought me some. She got me some new clothes. She made me do it. She tricked me.
She tricked you?
Yeah, because I am like a cartoon character.
Yeah.
In the fact that I would have a closet full of the same. I have a lot of the same exact shirts.
Yeah.
And the same things. Like, I have a closet like Peter Griffin, like white shirts, blue jeans. Like, if I like something, I buy the same thing.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, I have three pairs of these jeans exactly the same. You know what I'm saying? So I will buy the same thing and I'll wear the same thing. Like, so she was like, you can't, why are you, you know how women are, they're like, you can't, you just gotta, why were you wearing your camouflage shorts and the Bob Marley shirt again? You know what I'm saying? Like, dude, all summer, camouflage shorts and Bob Marley. I'm like, yeah, babe, I went shopping. She's like, what'd you buy? And I'd be silent, and she'd be like, you bought another Bob Marley shirt, didn't you? I'm like, yeah, but this one is white. The other one was black.
She's like, this is, we're going to a wedding. Why don't you? Yeah. So like, come on, baby, it doubles. Wedding and funeral. It's a good, good
yeah, fun. Everybody likes Bob Marley. Fuck. You don't like Bob Marley? Fuck you. So we went to the mall.
Yeah.
And we went to the mall, and we were supposed to be going to, she was shopping. Yeah. At the mall. And then we end up in the men's section. And then next thing you know, she's like putting shirts up to me, like, oh, this look good on you. Hold that. And I'm like, whatever. Next thing you know, we're at the checkout counter and I got these new shirts. And she's like, wear these. Like, she's like, wear these. And then I noticed that some of my other stuff has started disappearing. Yeah. Like, I'm down to, like, maybe stuff is disappearing. I'm like, hey, baby, you see my shorts? No. What shorts? I'm like,
She's just casually stripping away.
Yeah, she's, like, chipping away. Yeah, she's, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, but it's working, you know?
It's yeah, working. It's good. I think it's good to at least try it out.
I'm trying.
To kind of see if it works. Yeah. Do you feel like, I kind of want to phrase this in the right way. Do you feel like, where do you see yourself in relation, like, on the comedy spectrum? Like, where do you see yourself fitting in? Like, who are your guys?
Really, you know what? At this point, when I think comedy is a solo business.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Because when you do, I mean, there are some people that I came at, like, I mean, when I first started comedy, a couple of the people that really gave me a hand up were Cole Black.
Uh-huh.
And then we actually had a group. It was me, Cole Black, Shane Murphy, and BT Kingsley. And that group was called the Outlaws of Comedy. And we kicked up a lot of dust at that point.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of people, man, that I like. I don't dislike anybody. There's nobody I dislike. But I think that at a certain point, if you're gonna succeed in this in comedy, I didn't even know if I really wanted to do comedy.
Yeah.
Sometimes I don't think I pursued as aggressively as some people would think that I should, based on what I can do.
Really?
Yeah. I'm not really. I mean, I'm into science fiction and horror. Actually, dude, I'm writing a horror short story right now.
Really?
Yeah. Seriously. I'm an avid reader. A lot of people don't know that. So. My creativity is not just limited to comedy.
Right, and it shouldn't be. Absolutely shouldn't be.
But stand-up, I don't know, man. Like, what do you see? Like, I mean, when you look at stand-up comedy as a profession, I mean, I know some awesome comics, man, that are pretty much not doing too much more than I'm doing. And it's, I'm like, what is the difference, man, between, like, where can you go with this? It seems like as an art form, it's just being... Oh, I don't know how to say this. Like, what do you think the state of stand-up comedy is changed? Definitely. It's a lot more, there's a lot more people doing it. There's a lot more.
There's a lot more people doing it. And it is kind of, it's way easier to build an audience. And because like, we have the technology now to make it easy to repeat ourselves to people over and over again. Because, like, you can, right. Like, it used to be, if you didn't see a comic on, like, HBO, they just dropped off. You didn't know about it. Like, that right. was, back in the day, like, being a comedy fan or being a comedian, that was a totally legitimate subculture. Now, there are casual comedy fans who, it's easy to follow. So, I would say, like, it's like we're in a, it's like a transitional state. Like, it used to be you would go to New York or you would go to LA.
Right.
And you would constantly complain that you wanted to go to the other side.
Yeah.
And that's still there, but now there are all these other places that are becoming, like, hubs, like, places for comedy. Like, Atlanta has an amazing comedy scene. Denver has an amazing comedy scene. Chicago, it's an improv town, but their comedy scene is really awesome as well. So it's getting more democratized. There's more ways that you can go about it.
Yeah.
We're still out in the cut because we're north Northern California, we don't have the kind of
major cities. Man, look where I'm doing this podcast from, dude. I'm doing this podcast from, people. If you could see, like, I'm looking out this window right now, and there's, like, I don't know where I'm at. Like, there was hawks circling the freeway.
There were.
Yeah. And one of them picked up a Volkswagen Beetle and flew off. And I was like I was like, oh, shit.
They got a 10-foot wingspan. I don't doubt it. Just grab onto the antenna and run.
Yeah, it took off. I'm like, they're going to eat all those people.
But I think in terms of, you know, doing something with it, I think now it's kind of a point, well, what exactly is it that you want to get out of it? Is now a more realistic question than, well, I just have to have that perfect 5 minutes for when I get asked to go on the late night show and then break into movies and shit, and then I can tour.
Yeah, it's pretty much up to you, man. I mean, this is what I, for me personally, I do kind of, I'm a storyteller. I enjoy telling stories.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, but it doesn't always have to be comedy. You know what I'm saying? So I enjoy telling stories. I enjoy entertaining people. So for me, I love doing it so much. Sometimes that changes my focus. You know, I love doing this, but then at some point, like, the business side of it has always been my downfall. You know what I'm saying? How to monetize it, how to, like, I don't even, like, I mean, there's comics that have built massive fan bases in a short amount of time, and I've been doing this like 10 years, but I'm kind of antisocial in a way.
Yeah.
You wouldn't probably think that, because I can talk to, you know, I can talk to you, but when it comes to people, like, that I don't know, it's hard for me to connect with people.
Oh, totally.
Off stage. Like, when I get off stage and people come up to me, I'm uncomfortable. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm like, they're like, hey man, good show, and they're in my face, and I'm like, I don't even know you. You know, it's weird. It's not, I'm always kind of like, I'm not, you know, some comics are like, yeah man, let's take pictures, yeah, pictures. Me, I'm kind of like, more like, hey man, thanks for coming out. I hope you come to another show. I don't know what to do with my hands right now. Like, I'm like, I'm like Ricky Bobby when it comes to
totally,
that.
Oh, totally, totally. Yeah, like, you should just have, like stickers or something, or, like hashtag D Tyler, so they can, like, follow you on Twitter or some shit, just so you just can get over that. But, yeah. I mean, like, I totally understand that. Like, because it's a very different, because when you're on stage, you're presenting this really exaggerated version of yourself.
Right.
And you, like, you off stage and you on stage are totally different people.
Really,
I actually believe that. Just even as we're talking here, very low key, very mellow. When you're on stage, it's like bam, 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 bam. Like, you talk faster, you talk at a higher pitch.
Yeah,
it's exciting. But I can see, like, you're one of the guys who, when you get off stage, like, it's almost like a turn, because it's like, now the situation is more out of your control. Right. Than it was when you were up there.
Yeah, I think it might be a control issue too. You know, I'm like, I can dealing with the big crowd is easier than dealing with individual persons.
Oh, totally.
You know what I'm saying? Because the crowd's like, this is a big mass. Let's move this way. Let's move that way. Then I get off stage, it's like, hey man, you were awesome. I'm like, oh, thanks. What do I say now? Have a good day.
It's like, I don't have a set prepared for just talking to people.
Yeah, I don't have a set. Yeah, I don't have nothing prepared
you
for this.
You can just do the dumb shit, like, what do you do?
Yeah, I wasn't prepared for this. Like, that's my line right now. What's going on?
Yeah, and I can see how that would be, like, that kind of personality would be a deterrent. But that actually, to me, seems like that seems to go hand in hand almost with the comics who I see as they are truly exceptional, or they do have this kind of really unique voice, is they're great comics, but they are just not good with the sitting after a show,
right,
buying beers kind of thing.
Yeah, it's, you know what, it doesn't seem as real to me.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
It doesn't seem, I'm not good at faking that, like, instant, like, cup of noodle camaraderie.
Yeah,
you know
what I'm saying? Yeah, yeah.
Just add water and boom. Hey, I'm like, no, I'm like,
is it?
I don't know you.
Does it feel almost kind of like predatory a little bit? Like, I want to talk to this person, maybe to be nice, but also I know this person books a club. Like, is there some element of, like, you don't want to feel like that's your goal?
No, because I never really stressed on that. Yeah. I mean, the bookings I get, I'm grateful for everybody who's booked me, and anybody out there who's listening, if you book me, I appreciate it. I thank you. If you even thought about to call me and say, hey man, this is going on, I appreciate it. But I don't really too much actively seek booking, because I'm just, I do it because I like to do it, man. I mean, yeah, like, yeah. But I know that in order to, if I want to do this professionally, as far as make a living, I'm going to have to do a lot more. I'm just always afraid that that element is going to take the fun out of it.
Oh, I understand that. I understand that. Yeah, because then you're kind of, because then you open yourself up to more censorship. People are going to be wanting more from you.
Right.
It's kind of, you. Yeah, you would be shifting away from just the pure artistry of it, the pure play of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's a scary, position to be in.
Yeah,
but I imagine that you kind of have enough material that doesn't hurt anybody's feelings, that it would be like, for you, I feel like for you, you're one of the guys who's like, that would be a super easy transition to start really making.
Well, not the changing of the changing the material, just the changing of who I am.
You know what I'm saying? Okay.
To be more accessible, I love performing, but I don't really desire to be famous like that. I'm not a fame whore. Like, I mean, I like what I do, but I'm not really too, like, I wouldn't ever want, I mean, to me, oh man, it'd be tough, dude. It's gotta be tough to be famous to where you can't just do regular shit no more. You can't get a cup of coffee. You can't go to the movies. You can't buy a sandwich.
Yeah.
You know, I buy a sandwich anonymously. You know, or as opposed to Kevin Hart went to Togo's and he didn't get no cheese. What's up with that? You know what I'm saying? Like that's gotta be like,
that's a 10-minute segment on the Tonight Show or some shit.
It's a lot of pressure, man. But I mean, more so, I do it because I love it. You know what I'm saying? But then at the same time, I love having money. You know, I think I have to make that transition and bring those things together, because I feel I'm at the point now in my career, if you can call it a career, I feel like I'm an extended open mic that's been like a 10-year open mic.
Yeah,
you know, but I'm ready for the next step, man, because I see a lot of people, a lot of my friends and peers have already made that leap, and I'm really proud of them. But seeing them do it, I'm like, you know what? I can do this. This is something I can do. You know, and they're still the same people. I didn't change them. You know, most of them. So, yeah.
Is it just the fear to leap? Just the fear to, like...
Yeah, and, you know, I've always been cursed with a good job, dude.
Really?
Yeah, I've had a good... I mean, I've been working since I was 18. So, but I've always had a good job. You know, I worked for SBC for, like, 8 years. Now I'm in property management, doing that for like 6 years. So I've always had a good job. So I've always had that fallback.
Yeah.
So I never needed, like, if I didn't have a job, like, I probably would have excelled. I'm the kind of person that really only runs as fast as I have to run.
Oh yeah. You know what
I'm
saying? Yeah,
like, I'm not really that much of a self-motivator. I'm motivated by, instant danger. You know what I'm saying? Like, it has to be something like, you know, it has to be something like, if I was running a race, and I was, they said time and say, okay, go. And I ran the race and said, I ran it in like a 5 seconds, a 40 yard dash. Had there been a pit bull chasing me, I could probably run it in 3 seconds. You know what I'm saying? But I have to, but it's hard to mentally conjure up your own pit bull to chase you all the time.
Yeah. Especially when you have like, when you're in a position where you do have kind of like a good level of comfort.
Yeah, I'm very comfortable, man. I'm very comfortable in life, period. You know, except for, I mean, the only thing that's really, that's not comfort for me is just the fact that, you know, my son's mom is a vermicious knid.
But other than that, it's just smooth sailing.
One day I'm going to ram this glass elevator right into her chest. That's for my Willy Wonka fans out there. You know, so I read books, bitches.
check out this golden ticket, bitch.
Yeah. So, other than that, I'm ready, man, because...
Do you feel the desire? Like, do you feel like...
Yeah, now I do feel a sense of urgency, man. I'm getting older, and there's things I want. And there's... I want to take this as far as I can go. and see how far. Because I've never really, I've always been kind of comfortable. I don't. This is my fear. I don't want to be like the dude that was hella dope at street basketball, but never went to the league.
And oh, ends up
working at like Walmart, and then like people from the NBA, like other people that he played basketball with that he like dunked and shit on, they come through to the store like, oh, dude, what are you doing here making sandwiches, man? Didn't you used to be?
You don't want to be that. You don't want to be that guy, man, of comedy.
Yeah, I don't want to be that guy, man. And I believe I'm talented enough not to be that guy, but it's not just talent. That's the one thing I learned too. Being funny is the easiest part of comedy. That's like by far the easiest part. The hard part is everything else.
Yeah, it's all the talking to people,
the networking, and the contacting, the checking up, the emailing. You know, I'm like, man, when do I need to show up? That's the kind of guy I am. Like, I'm like a hired gun. Like, we need to show up. I'm a sniper. I got one bullet. So you hired me, I'm gonna go pow. Thank you very much.
That is kind of the way I feel like a lot of guys, including me, think about it. Like, that's what we want out of it. I just tell me where to show up. I'll show up. I'll do my thing.
That's not enough. Yeah,
that's not enough.
That's not enough.
Especially if you want to take it to that level where I'm making a living off of this. Like, you have to kind of pay attention to so much more than that. Like, you have to be your own accountant. You have to be your own. You have to really be your own booker. You have to do the work yourself. And that's something that I don't think a lot of guys ever want to worry about.
No, not when you're an artist, man. Like, well, some people are business minded and they're funny. So that will get you farther than being an artist with no business. You can get further with being you could be a shitty comic, but a good businessman or woman and make it farther.
Way the fuck farther.
Than a awesome comic with shitty business.
Yeah.
You know? So, sometimes being an artist, man, is not, you know, some...
Well, I feel like being an artist is like you're in a perpetual state of, like, being a kid, almost. Because you do it for fun, you do it for play. Once you start getting to a point where you're like, I need to have this be something important.
Right.
I need to tell a joke that can get me dinner.
Like, yeah.
All of a sudden, there's a pressure there that's like an adult level of pressure. Because now your play has responsibility attached to it. And there's like, I feel like that...
That would kill it for me, man. Because that's the way I look at it. Even my point of view, I think it's for me, it's pure. And I don't really want... I don't like the business end of it.
Yeah.
I don't like the politics. I don't like the ass kissing and the... You know, hey man, like there's a lot of aspects of comedy that I love because I've made some great friends in this business, but I've also seen some of the worst in people too, man, doing this, you know. And then that part of it kind of makes me go, man, that's wow, dude. Like, really?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, this is, I'm like one of them dudes, like, you know, like, I look at like kind of like hip hop rap, you got like people that, you know, when you look at hip-hop, you got, like, Soulja Boy.
Yeah.
People can't stand Soulja Boy. They think he's corny. Well, hip-hop purists, they like, Soulja Boy, that's bullshit. You know what I'm saying? Now, you want to KRS-One. Now, that's that shit. You know, KRS-One. So, I'm kind of like a purist when it comes to... I'm really into the craft. But the business part, oh, my God. That's when it starts getting weird.
Oh, totally.
Yeah, that's when it gets... You know, that's... I will say that's... I mean, I know my weaknesses. And business sense is... That's one of them. You know, never been much of a business person. You know, I think most true artists are shitty business persons.
Absolutely, and that's why they're...
By nature.
That's why they're poor, and that's why they're artists.
Yeah. You stay poor, but you're free to create, happy, and unfiltered. You know, you can do what you want to do. Until that one day you have a painting that sails off the charts.
And then all of a sudden you're like, I broke it.
Yeah.
But that's the lottery mentality, man.
Yeah, that is.
And if we wanna really like pursue it, we gotta wean ourselves off of that.
Right.
Or not think that way. It's gotta be like, I gotta just...
It's a process. I'm going through that right now, you know.
Yeah.
I didn't do any New Year's resolutions this year. I think that's just corny. It's just really corny as fuck. I'm so sick of the... Man, this year I'm gonna be a better me. You're still you, bitch. You could have been
a better you all this time.
Yeah, yeah, but it's arbitrary change of time.
Yeah.
Now is the time.
Oh, it's 12:01. I'm a better person. No. Man, 12. I'm not going to be a hood rat this year. 1201. You just take the dick out your mouth and just
dedicate, this ain't me no more.
Yeah, dedicate your life to Jesus. You still got ball juice in your hands, bitch. Like, nobody's changing overnight. So what I did, I just made small changes, and I've been making little changes here and there for about maybe like the past 6 to 8 months.
Yeah,
that I think have put me in a position to where I can get some more out of what I'm doing than what I've been getting, and mm-hmm. part of it is branching off into writing stories, man.
Yeah,
that's really interesting. I mean, I think that I have the ability to write a kick-ass horror novel, and I'll just give you a spoiler alert right now: the black guy lives.
Nice.
He does not die.
You could just put that as the title.
Yeah, the black guy, the black guy that didn't die.
That would be a kick-ass book.
But I think, but my idea for it is that during the story, there'll be so many times where you think he's going to die, but then he doesn't.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So
that sounds like it would be funny.
I think it would be
funny, and it would be scary.
I don't think I could totally take the humor out of anything I do, but my sense of what's scary and horror is very fine tuned. Like I've told people stories, like, you know, like campfires. I've scared the shit out of people.
Do you fall back into kind of the old like the Lovecraftian, like hide heavy?
I'm a Lovecraft fan, dude.
Me too.
And Brian Lumley.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah. What the fuck? The Burrow Was Beneath, and all the Titus Crowe. That just happened.
Set your mind off, right?
Yeah, like, man, he's awesome. Got a fucking clock. He gets inside this clock, and then there's like these fucking hounds that come from like corners in the wall, and shit. Like, who thinks of that? Like, Cthulhu itself. Like, the first time I read the description of it, I was like, I had to read it like 6 times. Like, he's got a tentacle face. Like, how do you like?
And then you see it, you're like, oh fuck, that'd be freaky if it was running after you and you're just on a boat.
Yeah, that whole thing is freaky, man. So I mean, I'm really like Stephen King. There's another guy I'm looking for, Frank Peretti.
Uh-huh.
You heard him?
I feel like I
really
have.
Yeah. Good. It's kind of a Christian themed. He says it's Christian horror, which is weird. But it is. It's like, it's regular old school horror, but then like Jesus saves you at the end. But
just like real life.
It's good, man.
Yeah,
and that's the kind of stuff I like, man. Because I'm always like, I'm really into like, I like reading about paranormal shit. Like, I'm really into stuff like that. That's what interests me.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Like, I've actually looked up wormholes. You know, I mean, if I would have been and stayed in science. When I was a kid, I was in GATE, and I was in advanced science and mathematics. And if I would have stuck with that, I mean, I probably would have invented a Stargate years ago.
That's what you've been dedicated to.
But, you know, I chose to go work for Packard Bell and repair computers. But, you know, my true calling was Stargate manufacturing.
It's just like, well, are you writing notes there, Dean? Like, I'm just writing down the chevrons I need to get.
Yeah, man. I'm like 3 glyphs away from fucking opening this shit. What up, baby?
Well, that's interesting, man.
Damn, that's the kind of stuff I'm into. But see, that's the kind of stuff that nobody really knows. You know what I'm saying? Because that's how I entertain myself. You know, entertaining people and entertaining myself are 2 different things. I'm trying to combine them. You know, and it's kind of weird because my answers are so scattered that it's hard to focus them all down to one thing. You know, because I've seen like the Marlon, this Haunted House movies.
Yeah.
Which those are comedies, but they're not really scary at all.
No.
They're comedies. I want to do something that's horror, but it's still kind of funny. Like Nightmare on Elm Street was comedy.
It was funny, but it was horrifying first. It was comedy second.
But Freddie was like that one scene when he takes his head off. He's like, "You've got the looks, and I've got the brains." And he took his head off, and you see his brain.
Yeah,
I fell out laughing. I was like, "That's crazy!
That's ridiculous! And why is that happening?"
Yeah, and the way he said it, just like fucking vaudeville, like ha! I almost think he did jazz. With the claws.
I think about the Did you see like Evil Dead 2, like the original Evil Dead 2?
I've seen the original Evil Dead. That was like one of the first movies to scare me. Side note, zombies are probably my biggest fear.
Really?
I don't hate zombies, but zombies, man, like when I was a kid, I watched Dawn of the Dead.
Ooh.
You seen that?
Yeah.
They're trapped in the mall.
Yeah.
And they was living in the mall. I've seen that. I wasn't ready for that when I watched it. It fucked me up. Like, I had zombie nightmares for years. And I was like, you know, I got to get over this zombie fear. And then everything kind of died down. And then fucking Walking Dead came
and
out.
And now zombies are like this.
Kicked it up again. Now zombies are cool. Now they're falling in love. And fucking they're vampirizing the zombies. Like, now zombies are, you know,
yeah, cool. First vampires were cool. Now they're just like, whatever. No one cares. And now zombies are kind of getting that way.
Yeah, they totally made zombies bullshit now. Like, I'm not even scared of them no more. They ruined it for me.
Yeah. What's left? Fucking nightmares.
Yeah, I mean, well, most of the horror characters are kind of lame now.
Yeah,
there's no good. Like, remember we had Freddy, we had Jason, we had Michael Myers.
Yeah, and all what's cool about all those guys and what made them fit into kind of that classic horror style is they seemed to have no purpose behind what they were doing. It was so simple, it was unbelievable.
Yeah, they just wanted to wreck shit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They didn't care. Like, Freddy was a crazy bastard. You know what I'm saying? But, I mean, you gotta think he was the spawn of, like, gang rape.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? At a mental institution, right? Or something like
that. Yeah, I think that was the thing. But then you got, like, Jason, where he's just killing people who are at this camp.
He's got mommy issues.
Yeah, he's got mommy issues, but he's killing the camp people. And then there's Michael Myers, who's, he's crazy, tries to kill, like, his sister, right? But then he's getting all these other random people, and it's like, why can't he just focus in?
You know, what I thought would be funny would be like a reality show with like old monsters. You know how they have the old B-lists thing? Like, oh, like, what's Freddy doing now? Like, Freddy's fucking, he's working at a butcher shop or something, slicing cold cuts with his fingers. Or Jason, like, what are these guys doing, like, now that after the scare is gone? Like, after the screams stop.
You know? when the screams stop.
Yeah, it should be like a VH1, like, VH1, that after the screams.
That would be amazing.
And it'd be like this sad music, and you see, like, Freddie walking through the park with the reporter. She's like, so, Frederick?
He's like, oh, no. God damn it.
I heard you'd like to be called Frederick now. Yes, I'd like to be called Frederick. He's like, so what have you been doing? And I'm imagining in my head a scene where like he's like looking up and like a butterfly lands on his claw and he like looks up at it and then end credits.
I'm imagining Jason would be like wanting to be really private. Like he'd go like, oh, not this again. He pulls the mask down.
He'd be a recluse. I'm thinking he'd be really into coffee for some reason.
Really?
Hey, I can see Jason like, French press.
He would know. It's like all natural lake water coffee. It's delicious.
Yeah, from the lakes of wherever the fuck I was buried.
I could see that's hilarious.
But that's what I think, man. I think in stories. Like, and that's one thing I'm gonna get into. A lot of people don't know when I'm talking to people.
Yeah.
I hate to give this away, but sometimes when I'm talking to people, there's a scenario that plays in my head that's totally different from what happens. You know what I'm saying? So somebody could be like, hey, man, like, what's a good example of recently when it happened? Oh, yeah. This lady came into my job.
Right.
And she said something to me. And when she talked, she had like that, it was early, she had that like morning cigarette kind of breath.
Kind of like a metal breath smell.
Weird smell. Wasn't really bad. It was bad enough, though. So as she's talking, I'm listening to her, but in my head, I'm imagining like this fog coming out of her mouth, and like as it's coming out of her mouth, like flies are dying. You know what I'm saying?
It's too much for the flies.
Yeah, like then, like I'll see, like somebody could say something to me, like, "Hey, man, hey, what's going on?" And I'd be like, "Hey, nothing much." You know what I'm saying? But they have a really big head in my mind, like this. Just basically, there's a big difference between what happens in my head versus what I actually say.
Interesting.
Like, if something ever happened where that filter was removed, It would be bad. It would be so. It would be entertaining, but it would be. Nah, it wouldn't be bad. It would just be. I think I'm gonna work. I think I'm gonna do that. Take that filter out, man.
Just so you just pointing out people like you got a big head.
Yeah, because I'll see stuff like, okay, here's a perfect example. There was a woman in coming to see the comedy show. She was really, really big.
Yeah,
and she sat in the chair, right? So most people just see a big woman sitting in a chair, and some people were kind of laughing because she was like kind of like engulfing the chair. But in my mind, I was thinking like as if I was the chair and the chair was like talking like, oh my God, please don't pick me. Please don't pick me. Please don't pick me. Oh shit, sit somewhere else. You know what I'm saying? So in my mind, I'm thinking this chair is freaking out. You know what I'm saying? Like this chair is freaking out right now. This chair is like, please, bitch, sit anywhere else. Oh my God, I can't. You're breaking my back. You're breaking my back.
And it's just kind of like, it just happens that way. Like just.
Yeah, I think I give inanimate things a voice.
Oh yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, so, you know, like, it's kind of hard to give an example because it just happens. But, you know, like, I don't know how I can explain that, man. You ever do that?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, it's called it's a personification. When you apply human attributes to something.
To something that has no...
Like a chair doesn't have an opinion, but right, you're going to make... But if it did, this is what it would be. Yeah, totally. I do that all the time. That's like a holdover like writing trick that I learned when I was in school to be a writer.
Really?
Yeah. Like that's like a like you do that in order to create like tone or mood or something like that. Yeah. That's probably why you could probably write a kick-ass novel is you're able to just do that.
I hope so, man. I mean, I'm trying. I'm attempting to do it, and I think it's gonna be. My biggest fear with writing a horror novel, though, is like, it's kind of crazy. It's irrational, but I always have this fear like, what if I write something so good, it comes true? Like, <that's>
kinda, like it's gotta, yeah. You scare yourself. Like, I don't want to.
Yeah, but if I don't scare myself, it's not good.
Right.
You know
what
I'm saying? And I'm like, do I really want to scare myself like that? Because. Man, some of the, like, I've read so much horror that I kind of know where to go with it, but I'm like, man, do I really want to write this? What if I write this shit and it happens? Like, am I ready for that? I gotta write it out.
You have one chapter that you're ready to go, like, you know, it's fine. We're good. Jesus showed up.
Yeah, Jesus is here, man. Everybody calm down.
Oh, that was
You never think,
what's the worst case scenario of doing this? Like sometimes I think of that, but not in writing.
Really, I don't know. Like sometimes when you think of stuff yourself, you don't know how irrational it is until somebody else hears it. Like that's the first time I've told somebody that, and but your reaction lets me know that it's totally irrational.
But like, no. But what's interesting to me is like that could almost be, like that in and of itself is a good horror concept.
I think that might be the story. Like a guy writes it so good it happens. I don't know if that's kind of been done.
I feel like that's been done a few.
The Dark Half.
Yeah.
Was it called? What Dark Half? Was that what it was called? Stephen King, when the dude was writing and the shit was coming true.
There was
a movie of it. I think it was called The Dark Half.
There's a couple of them. They made a video game based on that concept. Really? Yeah, it was called Alan Wake, and he was a horror writer who wrote a terrifying horror novel, and it happened. And as you're playing through the game, you find pieces of the novel.
Oh wow!
And if you read the novel, it'll tell you a clue. Like there's a monster up ahead.
Oh, that's some shit you need to know.
Yeah. Like, it's important. It's good shit.
Yeah. It's a monster.
I also think Ursula K. Le Guin had a story like that. It's called like The Lathe of Heaven, where a dude would have a dream and then the dream would come true when he woke up. When he woke up, the world would be different because depending on the dream he had.
That's dope. Yeah. That's a dope concept, man. I'm big on that. I like those. Because I dream a lot. I have sleep apnea. So.
Do you have to have the thing?
Yeah. Funny thing happened this morning. I actually posted on my Facebook about this. I woke up to my girl. She was like hitting me, right? And I'm like, what's going on? She's like, what's wrong with you? And I'm like, what do you mean? Because I've got the mask on, right? I'm breathing my own filtered air.
Yeah.
So we went out last night. We had Mexican food. We had Pabst Blue Ribbon. We had carnita fries. We had fucking, we went to a couple different restaurants and a couple bars and So by the end of 9, my stomach was like a gumbo of weird. And I guess in the night, I had farted. And it woke her up. The smell woke her up. And she was mad because she couldn't go back to sleep. And she was like, damn near in tears. She was like, what's wrong? She's like, did you shit your pants in your sleep? Like, what is that? Like, what? She's like, do you have to go to the bathroom? I'm like, no. She's like, you need to go to the bathroom. I'm like, I don't have to go to the bathroom. She's like, when I took the mask off, I almost threw up. Like, I'm like, oh my God. Like, what is that? What is that? And I tried to blame it on her two dogs. I said, maybe your dog came in here and they farted. She's like, no. I said, well, when I went downstairs, they were laughing about something. And I don't know if that was it.
Oh, that's brilliant.
She was hella mad. Like, she was like, she was standing in the doorway spraying aerosol into the room. And like, she didn't care if it got on me. She was like, it was, she was spraying me directly.
She was like, I'm going to get this. We're going
to
get this.
This is not cool. She's like, you need to go to the bathroom. So I went to the bathroom, and you know, in the bathroom, first thing I was laughing, but she said, it's not funny. But then she kept kind of laughing, but it really wasn't funny to her because it woke her up.
Yeah.
And the last one that I did, I knew it. But when you have your own oxygen,
you just don't notice.
You can do what you want to do. Hey, baby, I don't got to deal with this shit. I got my own air. You should
get some of this sleep apnea. This wouldn't bother you.
She works for the company that makes my equipment, which is weird.
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
Like, I was meant to meet this woman. Like, when I met her, because when you have sleep apnea, you have that machine, it makes dating really awkward. Because after, if you have a, like, the first time I had a chick on, it was in my set, but this is a true story. When I first got the machine, I was like, I didn't know what I was going to get. I thought I was going to get, like, an inhaler. Or maybe something, a nose strip.
No, but it's a legit, like...
They gave me a fucking Xbox and a fighter pilot mask.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's like a fucking vacuum cleaner, right? So I was thinking, like, man, like, I'm single, man. I have my own spot. I'm like, oh, man, this is going to kill my game. Like, how do I attach this to myself? And then I got a new chick here. Like, that's not cool. Like, you can't look cool. Like, hey, baby, let's go to sleep. And then... You know what I'm saying? So the first time that I used it, I was the first time I had a chick overnight. When I used the mask, I was thinking, okay, I have to give her like the best sex ever because she has to go to sleep first. Mm-hmm. I have to put this woman to sleep because we can't like go to sleep together cuddly because I got to put this shit on, this gear. So she went to sleep and I put the mask on and I went to sleep. And when I woke up, I could hear her talking because when you have the machine on, you can't tell unless you're looking at their eyes, you can't tell if I'm awake or not.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because it sounds as if it's a shh. So she's on the phone with her friend and she's talking shit. And I wake up to this. She didn't know I was awake. So she's on, because to her, I'm like dead. She's like, yeah, girl, my pussy's hella good and I got this nigga on oxygen. Like, she's talking shit like about how she's like she's talking, bragging to her friend that her sex was so good that I'm on oxygen now. Like, she almost killed me, and that's why I have the thing on. And I just laid there for, I was so mad. I was like, this bitch, I dream about fucking bitches finer than you in this bed. How could you come into this bed and sully it with your opinions?
But your girl now, and she saw she's just like, oh, I make those.
She actually adjusted it for me. She's like, you know, it needs to be calibrated. She calibrated my shit. But on the downside, if it ever goes bad, she could kill me. She could like make something in my head to pop.
I'm going to switch this to zero and then we'll see.
Yeah. Because she was like, this morning, she was like, I was going to unplug the hose. Like, unplug the other end and stick it in under the covers. So I would have been breathing in my own fart. I would have threw up in the mask, like, and then probably drowned in old Mexican food and partially digested enchiladas.
How D die? It was kind of like Hendrix, but without any glory.
Yeah, he died in a blaze of poot. Went down fighting, though. He's a fighter. He fought all the way down.
That's beautiful, man. That's a good image.
It's
I like it.
Yeah. Speaking of vomit, there was this is kind of off topic but kind of on topic.
Yeah.
Okay, this is why I don't eat Wendy's breakfast. And I don't know how many stories start out like that, but this is why I don't eat Wendy's breakfast, people. I had a long night of drinking, and I had to go to work. And when I left work, I had a hangover, but I hadn't eaten yet.
Right.
And you know how that works.
Yeah, yeah.
You got that sour stomach. You're trying to drink water. You haven't really eaten yet. You feel like shit. So you think, oh, I need to eat. That'll make me feel better. So I went to Wendy's, and I got like this ciabatta breakfast sandwich. And I hop back on the freeway. And I'm in my car. I'm eating the sandwich. I'm like 6 bites in. And it hits my stomach, and my stomach is like, hold on, send that back. And I projectile vomit on the freeway, and I splash my windshield to the point where I can't even see it. And then I turn my windshield wipers on.
That's pointless.
Yeah. I figured that out because the throw-up is on the inside of the car.
So you just turn the defroster on.
So I use my sleeve... And I just wiped it all, and it got down in the vents. My car smelled like vomit for like months. And there was like, even when I sold the car, there was still little chunks of, I would always, like, every time I would clean the car, I would find a new little chunk of leftover from that.
Oh, that's horrific.
So I pull over, I get off the freeway, and I pull into the gas station, right? And when I get out of my car, I start throwing up again, and it splashed on the ground, and I'm like dancing in it, like flash dance, like splash. And there's a soccer team and like a van full of soccer kids, and they get out, they're all getting out, I guess, to go into the store to get chips or sodas. And then the dad's like, he looks at me, he's like, nah, he gets him back in the van. And he looks at me and he shakes his head like, you. And I'm just flash dancing, like, rah! Just throwing up all over the place, and it was all over my jacket. And then I had a ride home with the smell, and it's still streaked on the windows. It was the worst morning. I didn't drink for like 2 days after that. I'm gonna need 48 hours to get over this.
Literally the weirdest part of that story is the dad putting the kids back in and shaking his head at you like,
yeah, like what kind of man are you?
What aspect of this is is it the flash dance?
I think it was the splashing sound. Imagine I'm like, you ever seen Flash Beagle? The old Charlie Brown movie when Snoopy was dancing and shit.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he's doing his dance. That's what I was doing. Like, I was throwing up, and my feet were going like this, back and forth, and it's splashing, and you hear splash, blah, 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 blah. You hear my shoes slapping, and I had on dress shoes because you had to wear dress shoes to work. So I got on hard bottom shoes, and I'm slapping them on the cement, and then while I'm throwing up at the same time. And there's still up all on the inside of those on my car too. So he was like, "This dude,
we can't go here, kids. He's trying to get YouTube famous. Like, we gotta get out of here."
Yeah, it was gross. It was like, it was really.
That's a good story,
man. 2 days, man.
Yeah, that's a long time.
Yeah, enough time to reflect on the mistakes I've made and adjust my alcohol consumption
and the lesson you learned. Okay,
to prevent
no that. More Wendy's breakfast.
Yeah,
we learned that the hard way.
That's a problem.
Yes. Yeah. How do you feel, man?
I feel pretty good, man.
Pretty good. We've gone for an hour.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, man.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it took me an hour to get here. So.
That's good. That's good. It's kind of worth your while. Thanks for coming out here, man.
Man,
appreciate it.
Thank you for having me, man. I mean, I really actually do enjoy doing podcasts. I even thought about doing a podcast. I just don't know what I would do it about.
Do it about horror.
Really?
Do a podcast about horror, because honestly, I cannot... Here's something that sounds weird. I cannot think of a prominent black voice in horror. I know that sounds strange, but I honestly cannot think of one.
It does not think there's a void there, man. And
here's the thing. If you did that, dude, that's your way up. That's that blending of the artistry and the play with the professionalism, because now you have a product that people don't even know they want yet, but they would totally want that.
Huh.
That would probably blow people away.
Oh, man, maybe, man, that might be it.
Yeah.
But see, I don't like all horror, but Like, I don't really like horror movies.
Yeah.
Too much anymore. But maybe I could talk about that. Like, the reason I don't like them is because they suck now.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like, nothing scary no more. I mean, the one thing about the old school horror movies that I grew up with, either they were scary or they were kind of funny. Or kind of like, or they were entertaining. They had characters.
Yeah, 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 yeah. There was people. Now there's just, it's basically torture porn.
Yeah, that's basically most like Hostel.
Hostel, Saw.
Dude, that was, I can't even watch that shit.
Yeah.
It's too like, I don't want this shit in my brain. Like, I don't want, there's enough weird shit going on in my brain anyway. I don't need the image of some dude eating another dude piece by piece. Did you
yeah.
see that?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Hostel 2?
So fucking weird.
That was weird. Like,
or like, the other thing is just found footage movies.
Yeah, that's been done.
That irritates.
The reality shows of horror.
Blair Witch should have been the only thing. And now it's like every year. Like, I like Paranormal Activity. I think that's good. I think it's unique. I think that Paranormal Activity is like, it hit, like, it's weird. It hits on things about gender equality and about like parenting that are just super deep. But like,
and the new one?
Yeah, yeah.
Mexicans,
yeah. It's like a race relation.
No, totally.
The
last one I thought was really cool because you would never think of the urban Hispanic community having horror those worlds I've never seen combined.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Like, you got a super badass cholo dude and fucking a demon. Like, what the fuck? Like, how do they even know each other?
Yeah, yeah.
You know
yeah.
what I'm saying? So, like, you guys doing it in the same movie.
Didn't you have an abuela? How does this even happen to you?
Yeah, like, did this shit tell you about shit like that?
Yeah.
Like, that movie was, I liked it.
Yeah.
But, like, I agree.
That's unique. Like, that series is unique amongst all the horror, like, most horror movies come out, I don't even feel a minor inclination. Mm.
There's no stars.
Yeah.
There's no stars, like, I mean, Hellraiser, like, you talk about Hellraiser and Freddy, like, those guys were, like, you know, Hellraiser was scary. It's still scary, like, because you don't even know what, he's just doing it just for the fuck of it.
Yeah.
But now, like, I can't really name any scary movie characters that are, like that. Like, that would go for a series. Maybe, like, just, like, a one movie, like, really, like, can you?
Like, the most recent one, honestly, was Jigsaw. Jigsaw was, he's my generation's, like, boogeyman, evil guy. And he's the Saw movie guy.
The cancer dude?
Yeah, the cancer dude. Or the puppet.
Yeah, yeah,
that,
okay.
That image of the puppet and, like, oh, you want to play a game. Like, that whole, it's, like, basically, like, that pattern is right. what my generation has instead of, like, you know, the
Freddy's.
Like, the mask. Yeah,
theme songs. They were, like, professional wrestlers and shit.
Yeah, they were.
Yeah, brother.
They had personalities, and you kind of rooted for them.
Yeah.
You were kind of like, I want them to win. I want to see what happens, because these bitches are stupid. They deserve to die.
Yeah, exactly.
Why are you fucking in a haunted bed? Like, there's something about the horror movie villains that you kind of root for, but now it's like, they have what minor personality they do have, you don't really care about.
I want everybody to die.
Yeah, it's like, you know what I'm saying? I want everyone to die, and I want to leave this movie. The funnest part, honestly, about seeing horror movies now is if you get to see it at the midnight release on, like, a Thursday when it's packed and people yell. That's the best part of horror movies.
That sucks. That is the best part of the horror movie. I think urban horror really doesn't exist. Like, there's been a couple people that have done it, but I've never seen it done well. I think that the only reason that it was what it was, because it was urban and it didn't exist. Like, Snoop did it.
Bones,
that was whack.
That was a weird fucking movie. And then Tales from the Hood.
Tales from the Hood, which was... You...
It was,
you
trying to be like...
shit.
Wasn't there a part in that movie where the kid was adopted and they, like, his dad, like, his uncle killed him and he couldn't fit him in the coffin, so he cut his feet off?
Wait, was that the one when he was drawing the pictures?
Allen
Greer, was that Tales from the Hood?
Oh, it might have been.
I don't. We should know. We don't. That's why. It's been. It's not Candyman.
Candyman. Yeah.
All he had was fucking bees. I'm like, really, dude?
Yeah, and his the Candyman story was really like a more tragic story about racism than it was really about.
Yeah, it was kind of like Mississippi Burning with bees. Like, it was not, well, it wasn't like that, but it was like, yeah, it was like
it was
that.
Like if Selma had a horror movie villain.
Yeah, like, like if they like assassinated Martin Luther King and he came back with a hook with a hook hand and bees in his chest, like. That's Martin Luther Bees and it's killing people. Don't say his name in the mirror.
That would be that. I could just imagine, like, I don't know, they'll never make it, but I could imagine like Martin Luther King is like a Freddy Krueger figure.
Yeah, or like
attacking white supremacist dreams, and the tagline of the movie is "You have a dream." Bam!
Yeah, that's dope. And like Rosa Parks could be in there, like you say her name in the back of the bus 5 times. Like, Rosa, 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 and then she appears. That's so fucking wrong, man. If anybody's offended by that, fuck you. That was funny.
Those could be YouTube clips anyway.
That's, man. I mean, but we need something. The genre needs something. You know, I don't know if I can save it, but I'm gonna put my 2 cents in.
You should try.
Yeah, man.
Start with the podcast. That'll keep you working.
Cool. If I have a podcast, man, you'll be one of my first guests, man.
That'd be fun, man.
That'd be dope.
Well, shit. Well, D, thanks for coming by, man. I appreciate you.
Cool, man.
You're hilarious. Thanks for telling stories and talking about horror.
Yeah, man. That's awesome, dude. I didn't think we'd go there, but you know, it's real. This is a real cool, cool environment, man. I'm real relaxed, laid back, man. It's cool. Yeah,
that's what it's about, man.
Now, can I give people a way to. To follow me.
Absolutely.
Around.
Absolutely.
If you guys are listening and you want to hear more of this bullshit that I got going on or make sure that I actually do what I'm talking about, hold me to that. You can catch me on Twitter at DTyler916. I still don't understand Twitter that much. It's weird. The lack of feedback, it bothers me.
Absolutely.
Facebook, facebook.com/DTylerComedy will get you to my site. And man, thank you, Joe, for having me.
Thank you for coming, D. Follow D. Tyler; he's amazing. Thanks for doing this, man.
All right, man. Cool.
Hey, folks, that was the show. D is absolutely fascinating and very, very funny. All right, next week on the show, I'm talking to Robert Emoto, who is another comic in the local scene. Interesting cat. We have a good talk. You can get at me on Twitter at Bucky Gums. You can like our Facebook group, The Liquor Lamp Podcast with JoJo Lewis, or Facebook page, whatever it is. Or you can get at me at JJLC0M3DY at Gmail. That's my Gmail. Okay. You can send me a message or just sign me up. Don't sign me up. Have a good one, you guys. And yeah, I think this worked.